The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
There's just no escape from this. Look at this report. Gas up 44% April last year to April this year. Used cars 23%. Chicken, coffee, new cars, health insurance, airfare, hotels, milk, beef, fish, rent, eggs, bacon, furniture, flour, electricity. It's just every.
In other words,
it's your every second of every day.
Here is where the pain is really felt, though. Again, I want to really reiterate. These are persistent and high numbers. We're looking within these numbers for any signs of peaking. You see year-over-year gas prices up almost 44%. Used car prices. Anyone who is trying to buy a car will tell you that this is a really tough time and it costs a lot of money to try to get a new or a used car. Food prices and shelter, these are things that really, really hurt, especially the low end of the income spectrum, right? These are things you cannot do without. The shelter part of the inflation story, I think, is going to be a big one going forward in the months ahead here. So bottom line, still persistent, still high.
Don, the problem is there really isn't a good message when you've got a systemic problem like inflation as significant as this one is right now. You can't talk voters out of a bad mood if they're feeling unhappy with the state of the economy.
Impossible to hide. What was it? One of them said, no escaping these numbers. And then just going down the bullet list point by point. These dreadful economic numbers, persistently high, one of them said. We've got double the montages for you today. Another one queued up for just a few minutes from now. So you want to stay tuned for the rest of today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate Richard Palmer subbing in on yesterday's show from our Edstone office in the UK. And if you'd like to get to the live stream of this show, the video stream is offered exclusively at our website. We've got the audio stream at CRN Digital Talk Radio Channel 3 as well. But the video stream, we make it available at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you over to the live stream page. You can also get to the podcasts that are posted after the fact on that same page. And, of course, all of the podcasts are in the Trumpet Daily box on the front page of the Trumpet.com as well. So yesterday we learned that the consumer price index, that's the broad-based measure of prices for goods and services, 8.3% higher than last year. I think Wall Street had projected it to be 8.1%. This follows the numbers that came in following the month of March, where it was 8.5%. There were actually some in the Biden administration, by the way, that said, yay, it went down from 8.5 to 8.3. Inflation's only 8.3%. How do you celebrate that? And then these human interest stories coming from all across the country. A shortage in baby formula food, by the way. A shortage in baby food in the United States of America, and this happening even as we're sending billions, tens of billions overseas to Ukraine and places like that. I'll come to that in just a second. But everywhere that the fake president goes around the United States, he's talking about the economy. He's blaming Putin. He's blaming COVID. He's blaming the bad orange man. He blames everyone or everything but himself. Listen now to this montage. This is clip 14.
My plan to fight inflation will lower your cost and lower the deficit. 17 Nobel laureates in economics said my plan will ease long-term inflationary pressures.
Look, I know you got to be frustrated. I know. I can taste it.
Take any responsibility for your policies?
I think our policies help, not hurt. That the number one threat is the strength. And that strength that we built is inflation.
We inherit an economy on the brink of a Great Depression. Millions of people losing their jobs, losing their homes. But even more importantly, losing hope.
Under my predecessor, the great MAGA King.
Remember the long lines that stand
television, people lining up all kinds of vehicles just to get a box of food, and they're drunk. How could we forget? People were hurting. What is the MAGA crowd want to do? Forget it. Forget it. God, this is the United States of America. The idea that people would have to wait in line an hour, hour and a half to get a box of food and they're drunk. This is unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, you'll lose half of the companies that have poured in here will leave, and plenty
half
of companies that are already here, they'll leave for other places.
Have
they will leave, and you will have a depression of which you've never seen.
Look.
Isn't it amazing looking back at that history? Those debates from just a year and a half ago, maybe almost 2 years ago, summer of 2020. And you have Donald Trump, the warnings that he's the bad guy, we're supposed to believe. And yet you look back on that, you know how Biden's handlers were just tucking him into the basement for as long as possible. He'd come out to speak before 30 or 40 people and then back into the basement. And then these momentous events, the debates, as his handlers were doing everything possible just to ensure that it wasn't an unmitigated disaster. And, of course, he had the help from the moderators as well. But there's Donald Trump saying, look, your policies are going to be disastrous for the United States. Who was right? Who was right? And of course, the clip before the debate where he's there basically yelling at MAGA. I mean, he's really going after MAGA, which stands for Make America Great Again. I guess he thinks this is a message that really resonates with Americans. MAGA's the problem. MAGA supporters are the problem. Donald Trump supporters are the problem. They're terrorists, in fact. How do you scream, basically, scream about food shortages, skyrocketing costs, and not take a look at yourself? He's been in there 16 months. He's occupied the White House illegitimately. He's occupied the White House for 16 months. And you look at the economy, everything around him, it's in full-scale collapse. Trillions of dollars wiped out of the crypto markets. Some have been basically prophesying of that for some time now. But still, everywhere you look, crypto, the stock market, inflation costs, food shortages, supply chain crises. People's wealth just being wiped out right before our eyes in the United States. In some cases, there's one headline about crypto billionaires losing their fortune. I don't understand how you make a billion in the cryptocurrency market without diversifying a bit somewhere along the way. In any event, trillions of dollars just up in smoke. 16 months in. Listen to this. If I'm not mistaken, this is the U.S. Treasury Secretary from just a week ago. This is clip 12.
I feel quite good about the strength of the American economy. The labor market is really strong. The labor market is very strong. Consumer spending and business investment remain very strong. When you look at metrics relating to the financial health of households and businesses, that really looks very strong. I see the U.S. is very strong now. The labor market is very strong.
So you're saying it's very strong. Okay. Okay. We're right there with you on that. Very strong, she said. Just a few days ago. Who can forget the news media hyperventilating back in December? That's just, what, 5 months ago? The booming Biden economy. Jim Cramer saying he's never seen it so good, so strong. We have a running joke with our staff that if Jim Cramer says do this, do the opposite. He never saw it so strong a few months ago, and look at where we are today. How do these people hold on to their positions? How are they not run out of town? You got overwhelming support. Even with that opening montage, you've got overwhelming support in Congress for sending $40 billion to Ukraine. The fake president proposed $33 billion, and the congressmen and women were so eager. They so much wanted to send billions to Ukraine that they added $7 billion to the final tally. And no one reads through it. No one examines it. It's just rushed right on through like Obamacare. Who can forget Pelosi saying we need to pass the bill so we can find out what's in it? $40 billion? When you've got a crime crisis. You've got an inflation crisis. You've got a border crisis. This is all happening right here in the United States. Curses are descending on our nation like never before. And look at what they're doing in Washington. This was Nancy Pelosi justifying the $40 billion package for the oligarchs in Ukraine. Clip 6.
So when you're home thinking, what is this all about? Just think about when I was hungry, you fed me, in the Gospel of Matthew.
You know it's a scam when Pelosi starts quoting scripture. When I was hungry, you fed me. So we're going to go and feed the people of Ukraine while the babies, the mothers of babies in the United States, are searching far and wide for formula. You remember when Elon Musk finalized that deal? This was just a couple weeks ago. $44 billion to buy Twitter. We played a few clips of the communist media, those communists in the media that said, he should have given that $44 billion to the poor, to help the poor. Where are those people today? They didn't like it. They didn't like it when a billionaire bought Twitter and said, we're going to open it up so that there's free speech. But to sign off billions, almost the same amount that Musk spent on Twitter. $53 billion in total. $53 billion. Tucker Carlson last night, he went line by line with all of these security agencies in the United States, their budgets for the year in and year out, and just how Ukraine, what we're sending off to Ukraine, far and away, just spent in some cases twice as much, three times as much, four times as much as we do on border security for the United States, for right here at home. Does that make sense to you? And by the way, are European nations lining up to sign off on tens of billions of dollars in Ukraine aid? And when does it stop? Here's the Biden people just itching for war with Russia. Some of them just openly admitting it. Yeah, this is a war with Vladimir Putin's Russia. It's a proxy war. We're doing it through Ukraine. But really, you know, what we're fighting here is it's not even about, some have said the quiet part out loud. It's not even really about helping the people of Ukraine. This is about fighting Putin. We got to get Putin out of office, says Lindsey Graham. Well, what happens next? These people, these career politicians. And then they get up. Nancy Pelosi gets up and quotes scripture. So don't you dare question this. And listen, only about 55 or 56 congressmen even questioned it. Overwhelmingly, they voted for it in the House of Representatives. Every single Democrat, a large majority of Republicans, and just a few saying this is madness and it has to stop. Do you think Pelosi really cares about the people of Ukraine? Do you think they're really concerned about giving to the poor and the needy? I've gotten a few people in recent weeks that have reminded me of what it says about Judas Iscariot in the Bible. John 10, speaking of the Gospels, let's look at John 12 and verse 4. It says, "Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Well, this shouldn't go to Jesus. I mean, this should be given to the poor, said Judas. This, verse 6 says, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief." Wow. He was a thief. And had the bag and bear what was put therein. That's what we have a lot of in Congress. Thieves. They're creating slush funds. A lot of that money is just going to make it right. It's going to bounce into Ukraine and bounce right back into the pockets of people like Nancy Pelosi. That's right. They talk about helping the poor, even as the poor, right here at home, are struggling more and more. How do the poor people of the United States keep up with 8.3% inflation month in and month out? That's like another 8% tax. If your money is losing value that fast, who does it hurt the most? It certainly doesn't. It does not hurt the oligarchs here in the United States, or the crypto billionaires, or the elite ruling class in D.C. It's just hurting ordinary Americans all across the country, and that's why I've tucked away at the end of my notes that Rasmussen poll from just what was it earlier this week, I believe. Says even more embarrassing for the Democratic president is one of the largest gaps yet between him and former President Donald Trump in a 2024 matchup. It says in the survey previewed by Secrets, Trump is up 50% to 36. 50 to 36 in favor of Donald Trump. This is the polling that's coming in right about now. Trump winning in a landslide. Why? He's so evil. He's done so much to destroy the country. We should do everything that we can to stop him from ever running for office again. That's not the way a large majority of Americans think, obviously, clearly, in just looking at that poll. $40 billion that the United States doesn't have, signing it off for Ukraine, of all places. Listen to Chip Roy. He's one of the few representatives who voted against this monstrosity. I think Richard might have played this yesterday, but here it is again, clip 8.
You want to talk about the institution? You want to talk about standing up alongside Ukraine? Why don't we actually have a debate on the floor of the People's House instead of the garbage of getting a $40 billion bill at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, not paid for, without having any idea what's really in it, with a massive slush fund that goes to the State Department, $13 billion, $8 billion for the Economic Support Fund, $110 million for embassy security. We've got $40 billion that is unpaid for, and you want to sit here and lecture this body about what we're going to do or not do about standing alongside Ukraine? Why don't we talk about the American people who are hurting, the wide open borders, the inflation that's killing people, the jobs that people can't get because of the cost of goods and services in this country? Sitting here and being lectured to when I don't even have time to look at a $40 billion unpaid bill.
16 months in, as Steve Bannon likes to say, stolen elections have consequences. That's what we're seeing, and as I like to say as well, that doesn't mean Donald Trump solves everything. But America is under attack. And that attack, it culminated in the election steal of 2020. And this is something that, obviously, on the left, it's blotted out, any discussion about the steal. But even on the right, the Uniparty, listen to this, the Uniparty that just signed off on sending $40 billion of your money, if you're an American, is the same party that says, nope, no discussion allowed, not on Fox News, not on CNN, no discussion allowed about the election steal. This was Dinesh D'Souza yesterday. He tweeted, Fox hosts and pundits routinely denounce the mainstream media for banning any mention of the Hunter Biden story. In the weeks leading up to the election, Fox itself is now banning any mention of 2,000 mules. Wow, well that hurts. That's a little bit of a truth bomb coming from D'Souza. What must Tucker Carlson and Jesse Waters think of that tweet? As they're on their soapbox, how dare they ban the Hunter Biden laptop story? And just weeks before the election, the stolen election, we can add. How dare they ban that story? And then here comes this documentary, as I say. They put Esper on every show because he's there to give his opinion about how it was to work for the bad orange man. So he can go on the shows. He can promote his book. But don't you dare mention Dinesh D'Souza. Don't you dare bring up 2,000 mules, says Fox News and Newsmax. And you've got OAN even backing away from the election steal as well, probably because of lawsuits and threats and this, that, and the other. There's a war against truth. Who's the spreader of disinformation? Well, that would be the major media, the legacy media, and more, that's including a lot of the sources on the right. That's right. He's exactly right. What's the difference? What is the difference between, hey, you're blotting out Hunter Biden's laptop and that story? That's crucial information. We got to get this out. What's the difference between that in October 2020 and May of 2022? And that we're to blot out all discussion of 2,000 mules. Someone tweeted in response to D'Souza's tweet saying, it was decided by Fox around January 6 that there would be no mention, that's January 6 of last year, you know, the insurrection hoax day. It was decided by Fox around January 6 that there would be no mention of a stolen election. Fox itself led the way with stealing the election by calling Arizona early. Fox is not your friend, Mr. D'Souza. That's right. Fox is not his friend. You have to give him some credit. I mean, he gets speaking fees for going on these shows and this and that. But, I mean, he has come out full force denouncing the execs and the programs at Fox News, which pretty much guarantees he's never going to make an appearance on Fox News again. But he's got the truth on his side. This is from the American Spectator. It says, Dinesh D'Souza's new documentary provides convincing evidence of ballot trafficking. It does. If you've seen it, you know it does. How do you address this? How do you cover this? If you're a Fox News host and you've been told from higher ups, don't even mention it. Don't even mention the movie. These are, they have to be, some conflicted hosts on these programs. It's easy to come out so strong, isn't it? When it fits within your narrative, and they've all got a narrative, let's be honest, it's easy to come out strong. Hey, you covered up Hunter. What a fool you turned out to be. And then these same people, they won't even talk about it. It says here, the media told us there was no evidence of widespread fraud, but that was clearly a lie. Whistleblowers came out of the woodwork alleging hinky ballot dumps. Trump poll watchers at counting stations were barred from examining ballots, ostensibly because of COVID-19, as unusual distributions of votes were counted, heavily favoring Biden, of course. Of course. Of course. Do you think for a second that Schumer and Pelosi would take this sitting down if the roles were reversed? If all of those ballot dumps were coming in favor of Donald Trump, do you think Pelosi would just sit back and quote from the Gospels saying, hey, let's turn the other cheek? It says here, stories of trucks arriving late at night laden with ballots, thousands of voters well over the age of 100, and on it goes. Says here, we were told this wasn't enough to change the outcome of the election, and we were ignored when we asked just how much vote fraud is acceptable. Well, okay, it's not enough to overturn it, but these are still felonies, are they not? Shouldn't they still be investigated? Shouldn't Bill Barr be concerned about it? Shouldn't Bill Barr be looking at any way that he could stop this from spreading? What if it gets worse next time? You say it wasn't enough to turn the election. Well, could it be next time? It seems like they're getting pretty good at shutting out poll watchers or letting trucks come in and dump in ballots in the dark of night or running ballots through the machines over and again. Or what about the precedent of just shutting down everything at 10:30 or 11 at night? And then the next morning, everyone wakes up and poof, Biden's ahead. Is that going to happen every election now? I mean, this is all separate and apart from what D'Souza reveals in 2,000 Mules. The ballot traffickers that were actually going to the ballot stash houses and then bouncing around from 28, 38, 50 ballot boxes, just stuffing in 5 and 10 ballots per box. They did it in Atlanta. They did it in Phoenix. They did it in Philadelphia. That's right. They did it in Detroit. They did it in Milwaukee. And his movie exposes that. So how do you deal with that? Well, we've seen how the radical left deals with it. You've got the Supreme Court leak perfectly timed. And good for that governor or that candidate for governor in Arizona, Carrie Lake. She came right out and said it on Newsmax as they were asking her about Roe v. Wade, and they got the response they weren't quite looking for. She says, look, I think this Roe v. Wade leak came out to try to blot out, she didn't use those words, but to try to blot out Dinesh D'Souza's movie. Uh-oh. She went there. And the Newsmax host got a little bit uncomfortable in his chair. We were told it wasn't enough. I read that. To be sure, Trump's campaign didn't have a good handle on how to combat the chicanery and victimized it. Trump himself was outspoken in recognizing the potential of the 2020 election's dependence on mail-in balloting as a massive fraud engine. But his campaign insufficiently backed that recognition with action to prevent it. We've played the clips before from Donald Trump. He predicted the crash in the economy in one of those final debates. And he also, in those debates, predicted massive amounts of fraud on account of the massive mail-in balloting. The process put in place in 2020 had never been done in the history of the United States presidential elections. Says here, all the way, now listen to this. This is just a little bit of history from the American Spectator. All the way back in 2005, a bipartisan commission studying election practices had warned that mail-in ballots were wide open to vote fraud. Vote fraud. That's 2005. That's not even 20 years ago. 20 years. Just think about how rapidly things are changing in the United States. Just less than 20 years ago, you had Democrats, Republicans alike saying, you know what? Mail-in balloting, that just opens it wide open for fraud. And Bill Barr, he warned as much in early September 2020. Remember the Wolf Blitzer interview? Donald Trump warned about it in the debates. I mean, we've just been warned about it over and over and over, and then it happens. The steal happens. And what are we told? It was perfect. Everything works perfectly for mail-in balloting. Dinesh D'Souza exposes that lie. He exposes it. And it doesn't even get covered. It doesn't even generate one mention on Fox News. That's right. So who do you trust? There's a war on truth. And more people are surrendering to the spirit of lies. It's so strong. All the way back in 2005, a bipartisan commission studying election practices had warned that mail-in ballots were wide open to vote fraud, and several state legislatures constitutionally charged to set the time, place, and manner of elections watched perplexed as courts and secretaries of state openly flouted the law to install deficient procedures governing their elections. They did it all through 2020. And the only one sounding the alarm was Donald Trump. And for a short time, Bill Barr, but they got to him. He surrendered. He made one phone call to an official in Michigan who told him, yeah, everything was perfect here. Hung up the phone and then went off into the sunset after retirement. And to this day, it was perfect. No election fraud. Or if there was a little bit, but not enough to turn the tables. That's the way that they reason. Lawless people. Through and through. Look at the people in the Biden administration encouraging protesters to surround the homes of Supreme Court justices, which is illegal. It's illegal. There's a statute in the federal laws saying that you cannot surround the home of a judge to try to influence an opinion. It's illegal. And yet Jen Psaki, Joe Biden, all of them, Chuck Schumer, they're encouraging it. See, when the mob takes to the street and it furthers their purpose, they don't care if you violate this statute or break this law or, in fact, burn down a city. Go ahead and burn it down. You got to get your message out. This is how we bring about change. as I say, do you think the radical left, the communists on the radical left, do you think that they just look at all of these fake ballots? Do you think they look at all this video footage and this ping technology from cell phones? If it was Republicans stuffing the ballot box, do you think they'd just say, hey, let's just not even bring it up? Better luck next time. It says here, and then, at the same time, social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook were actively suppressing valid and relevant information about the election, most notably the New York Post reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. There was just cheating top to bottom. And the New York Times comes out 14, 15 months later and says, yeah, it was Hunter's laptop, and yeah, there is a lot of bad information on it. But anyway, hey, we got around to the truth eventually. Well, how convenient. You got the fraud of a president installed into the White House, and then you come around to the truth 15, 16 months later. It's perfect, isn't it? You can't make this up. Well, it says, thanks to Dinesh D'Souza's and particularly to Catherine Engelbrecht and her organization, True the Vote, we've got a much clearer picture of how the election was stolen. And it was stolen. It was stolen. Watch Dinesh D'Souza's new documentary, 2000 Mules, and you'll understand this to be true. Just watch it. Look into it. They want to blot it out. They want to ignore it. But as I've said in recent days, it's becoming harder and harder to ignore. In fact, you go over to the radical left and you're getting more mentions of this movie than you are on Fox News. Now, they're not mentioning it because they support it. They're hurling names. Name calling. That's what it amounts to. Any kind of pejorative term that they can come up with. Now it's Dinesh D'Souza. I mean, as I said earlier this week, he's an accomplished filmmaker, a distinguished author. He's spoken at universities all over the country. I forget how many books he's written. But now, well, listen to yourself. This is Frank Figliuzzi at MSNBC, clip 7.
As we speak, Nicole, right now, they are pushing a documentary called 2000 Mules by a nutcase named Dinesh D'Souza. He's put together a nonsensical set of data that claims that he's got evidence. A group called True the Vote has evidence, technical evidence, that there was widespread fraud at drop boxes in the 2020 election.
He's a nutcase, right? At least he mentioned it. And as you know, it's all over social media. D'Souza's doing his part to get it out there. It made over $1 million over the weekend with just a few downloads on Rumble and Locals. Philip Bump at the Washington Post, he wrote, 2000 Mules offers the least convincing election fraud theory yet. Now, to his credit, he sat through the video, and then here he's at the Washington Post trying to go line by line. Here's the first problem with the video. Here's the second problem. But incredibly, he says that D'Souza offers the least convincing election fraud theory yet. That's Philip Bump at the Washington Post, which means the exact opposite is true. It is the most convincing election fraud theory yet. And he's the heavy hitter. Washington Post is bringing out Philip Bump. As I understand it, he's written 5, 6, 7 articles on this subject. As I say, it's getting more coverage from these radical leftist organizations than it is from Fox News and Newsmax. I don't think OAN has completely blotted it out, but they had the apology from a few days earlier. I mean, it's remarkable that the message from this documentary is even getting out at all. Listen to this. It's getting the Hunter Biden laptop treatment, even from Fox News. It's getting worse treatment than Hunter Biden's laptop, because in October 2020, there were at least outlets like the New York Post and Fox News. There was Rudy Giuliani making the rounds about the Hunter Biden laptop. Obviously, Donald Trump was trying to give it publicity during the debates. But this time around, it's just pretty much Donald Trump. Donald Trump, Dinesh D'Souza, and a few others. It's remarkable, as I say, that it's even making its way out into the public domain, as well it should. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with our Bible study segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can submit feedback to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
On Tuesday's show the other day, before Richard subbed in yesterday, we were going through Deuteronomy 27, a few verses from Deuteronomy 11, and these two mountains that the Israelites came up to after they crossed the River Jordan. And there they were before these two mounts that God said, look, on the one hand, you've got the mountain of blessings and cursings, Gerizim and Ebal. And you read of it in Deuteronomy 11. You read of it again in Deuteronomy 27. They come up again in the book of Joshua. I think it's Joshua 8. And this, like I said the other day, it's a basic theme that runs right through the Bible, that you are blessed for obedience to God's laws, and you are cursed for disobedience. Cursed for disobedience. Now consider the curses that we're experiencing or living under in the United States of America at the moment. As I say, not one political party is to blame, and not one political party can fix it all. It's the sins of the people that we need to be thinking about. The sins of our nation. I want to start in the book of Hosea. I don't have this in my notes, fellas, but Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1 to begin with. Hosea 4 and verse 1. This is the prophet Hosea writing about our time today. It says, hear the word of the Eternal, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. There's just no truth whatsoever, and there's no knowledge of God in the land of Israel. Verse 2, it continues, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. All kinds of sins. I mean, just a sin-saturated society. Drenched. Nations drenched in sin. And of course, all of this builds toward verse 6, where the prophet says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, that would be God's knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. God says, I'll also forget your children. If you listen closely, there's obviously a lot of debate back and forth. There's even those, as I played at the top of the show, there's those in the radical leftist media that obviously see the problems. You wouldn't necessarily expect the media to come out with any kind of biblically themed message. But it's amazing how the Bible has just been blotted out entirely. There's no room for the Bible or God in the discussion anywhere. Anyway, I mean, I suppose there's a few Trump supporters from the evangelical community that still bring God into the mix. But for the most part, I mean, the focus, even in that segment, is on Donald Trump, all things Trump. But what about our sins? And what does God have to say about sin and repentance and curses and blessings? You would think more and more people would be turning to the Bible, seeking answers to these questions. You know, all of this, by the way, is addressed in Herbert Armstrong's classic work on Bible prophecy, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. What is prophesied for the United States? What is prophesied for Britain? He wrote this back in the 1930s and 40s. And it's as timeless as ever. It's as applicable to our nation today as it was back then. More so! The toll-free number is 1-866-930-3024. Call our operators today and request the United States and Britain in Prophecy. You won't regret it. This will help you view and examine all of the events in the world today, in our nation today, through the lens of Bible prophecy. Everything will make sense. Back to this theme of blessings and cursings, Deuteronomy 27, this begins the third sermon of Moses, his final message to the people of Israel, ancient Israel, but it's really for us today. And the thing about this message is it's focused on prophecy. It's focused on cause and effect. It's focused on what brings blessings and what brings curses. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 1, well, I read these first few verses the other day, where the people were told to, look, put plaster over these stones and carve, write these laws, write God's truth into stone so that you don't ever forget it. And I talked the other day about how that just the mere exercise of setting aside whatever it is that you're doing and carving God's truth into stone, into rock, I mean, that would have left an impression on those individuals, at least for a time. Now, we know the history of ancient Israel and how that it didn't take long for them to get out into the wilderness and beyond and murmur and criticize and complain and to get caught up into all those sins that are listed off there in Hosea 4, verses 1 and 2. My people, the prophet says later, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You've forgotten the law of God, the prophet says, and God's going to forget you as a result. This third sermon, it leads right into the blessings and the cursings chapter of Deuteronomy 28. If we have time, we'll go through a few of those verses as well. But first, listen to this. This is Deuteronomy 27, verse 11. It says, and Moses charged the people the same day, saying, there shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people, these shall stand, I should say. When you are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin, so six of the tribes, six of the 12, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali. So two mountains, Gerizim and Ebal, and they're right next to each other. And Moses had half the camp stand on Gerizim, and the other half stood on Mount Ebal. And all of this was meant to be a strong visual aid that would demonstrate the great divide separating the blessed way of life, obedience to God's laws, and the curses that come from rebellion and disobedience. God wanted everyone in Israel to see this. Look, there's the one mountain on this side, and then there's the other, and they are complete opposites. Remember this. Don't ever forget it. Blessings and cursings. Verse 26, it says, cursed be he that confirms not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. So then it leads into Deuteronomy 28. this chapter that is a companion chapter to Leviticus 26. And as I say, Mr. Armstrong has a lot to say about those two chapters in the United States and Britain and prophecy. Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, prophecy for today. Prophecy for today. That's right. That's what you'll learn in this book, the United States and Britain and prophecy. That's why you need to have this in your library, in your study of God's Word. It tells you why this nation, the United States, and Britain for that matter, it tells you why we're being cursed like never before. Now, there's quite a few people in the United States that are looking at what's happening, and they know it's never been this bad. Really? The economy here at home is breaking down? The southern border is wide open? And we're sending tens of billions of dollars to a foreign nation to prop up their economy and to secure their borders? And an overwhelming majority in Washington, D.C. support this. And Nancy Pelosi says, if you don't, then you're fighting against Jesus Christ. You don't agree with the message of Jesus. There are, as I say, quite a few people in the nation of America right now who know it's never been quite this bad. No political organization, no person can save America. Only God can do that. And when he does, it's only going to be temporary. It's not going to last for very long. That's why we need to be grounded in books like this, because we need to know what's coming. Right now, you see the sickness. You see the war from within. What happens when the enemies from without start attacking the United States? What happens when they start attacking the United Kingdom? We haven't even gotten to that point yet. And yet you've got leaders in the United States just itching for a conflict with Putin, war with Russia. They don't even know what they're hoping for. They don't even know what happens next. What's the next chapter? Supposing you got Putin out of the way. They haven't even thought that far ahead. Do you think they're going to look at the curses that we're being besieged by and actually sit back and think, wow, what is happening? What is going on? No, let's just sign off on another $10 billion here, another $30 billion here. How about $33 billion for Ukraine? Okay, hey, how about $40 billion? Well, why stop at 40? Deuteronomy 28 in verse 1, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth." High above all the nations. You can be an example nation. I mean, just think about these communists that are quoting scripture now all of a sudden. 2 seconds ago, they were saying how the United States, America, had racism built into its DNA. They hate this country. They hate the institutions of this country. They hate the founding fathers. They call them names. They say they're racist, misogynist. And then it comes time to sign a check for $40 billion. And they say, look, we do this because we're righteous. We do this because we're following Jesus. They're exposed as thieves, just as Judas was. These are thieves. These are liars. These are corrupt politicians who are just looking to serve their own self-interests. Even as the rest of the country goes up in flames, God says we want to expose this great evil. But then how do you react, though? What do you do with this? What should you do? You individually. Forget about what some politician's doing in D.C. What about you? What about the prophet Hosea and what he says there in chapter 4? What does God want for you to do, given all of these curses? We're surrounded by them. Well, obviously, he wants you to turn to him in repentance and faith. That's what it always gets back to. Being willing to change your ways and to believe, to believe in God, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow in the steps of Christ, to actually follow his steps. What does Jesus say about all these curses? You want to talk about Jesus? Let's talk about what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24. What would lead up to the Great Tribulation, a time so terrible and violent and bloody that the earth, well, the earth has never seen anything like it. And were it not for God's timely intervention, right at the very last point, we'd just extinguish ourselves from off the face of the earth. We human beings, human civilization, completely gone and extinguished. We need God. We need God as a nation, but we've forsaken him. And so what do we need individually? What do you need? You need God in your life. You need the United States and Britain in prophecy so that you can understand what's happening and know where it's leading. Turn to God in repentance and faith. Verse 2 says, and all these blessings, if you hearken diligently to the voice of God, if you observe all these commandments, verse 2 says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. It says, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God. You're going to be overtaken by blessings. Submerged in blessings. Just blessings all over the place. In the city, out in the field, with your family, children, produce, everything. Finance, oh yeah. The weather will be nice. The work productive. You'll be the envy of all the nations. Is that describing the United States today? The United States today is a laughingstock. People are looking what's happening to our nation at the southern border with the COVID police. They've all been exposed, by the way, as frauds. I just haven't had time to get to the clips. The lockdowns and the reviews that are now coming in slowly but surely. Not even just about how the vaccine is killing people, but how the lockdowns literally killed people. And we've got an epidemic of drug overdoses like this nation has never seen. And it just continues to stream on in through the border, the southern border of the United States. Seems like $40 billion could help to maybe secure that, to help maybe push back against the cartels. But no, we can't. I think Tucker played a soundbite from Pelosi last night where she said in 2017 that to build any kind of security or a border fence at the southern border of the United States is immoral. It's immoral, she says. It's ungodly. It's not what Jesus would do. But now send $40 billion to Ukraine so that they can secure their border? That's what Jesus would do. And if you don't support us and this package, this spending bill, then you're opposing Jesus Christ. Verse 7, it says, the Eternal shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. These are all parts of the blessings that come from obedience. I'm not going to have time to get into the second half. It's not a particularly positive message, but it is nevertheless the reality. I'd encourage you to get the United States and Britain in prophecy so that you can continue your study. Okay, these are the blessings. All of this prosperity, this security, this safety, this peace. If you obey, if you hearken unto God's commandments, if you hearken diligently to his voice, here are the blessings. But read on. Read on, because it says, if you don't listen, if you don't hearken, if you don't obey, then here come the curses. But even there, there's hopeful news, because beyond all of the curses, there is, of course, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Finally, the prophesied event that we've all been anxiously awaiting for many, many years, for generations, in fact, if you look at the history of God's true church. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to send us feedback, email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.